My heart was so happy.
Can we just jump right in?
Have we started yet?
Just make it up, right?
I've never done that before. I don't know what you're talking about. In fact, I'm offended. There's feelings here.
What are you talking?
Greetings and welcome to another potentially useful episode of the TCAP Sloop podcast. My name is Larry Burden, and she's leveled up after her successful quest through McCall 2024. It's Danielle Brostrom. In today's episode, we're delving into the exciting realm of developmentally appropriate AI in education. We know our youngest learners must develop the necessary critical thinking skills to navigate a landscape where AI will be ubiquitous. So gear up, fellow EdTech explorers, as we embark on a journey through bytes and building blocks and by deciphering this week's TCAP Sloop moment of Zen. There are very few human beings who receive the truth complete and staggering by instant illumination. Most of them acquire it fragment by fragment, on a small scale, by successive developments, cellularly, like a laborious mosaic. Nice name.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that one.
Very nice.
So you're back.
I'm back.
After a week at McCall, and shocking, there were discussions about AI. And far be it from us to look away from those discussions. What were people talking about at the conference?
Well, they were talking about a lot of things at the conference, Larry, because McCall is incredible. By the way, I did meet somebody who said, we should rebrand McCall to McCool. And I literally stopped and started laughing and said, do you know Larry? Have you met Larry?
He's been working on this for years.
Years. It was so McCool.
They were a plant.
So one of the best sessions I went to was from our friends at Common Sense. Sue was doing the session, and it was about AI literacy for grades 6 through 12. It was packed, first of all. So that was very encouraging. It showed that a lot of people are thinking about AI with their students and how they should thoughtfully share AI with students in their classrooms. And that was exciting. But then she opened it with this interesting discussion where she had people kind of stand along sides of the room, like, here's your scenario. You know, teachers are using AI for report cards. What do you think about this? Stand over here if you think this is a good use of AI. Stand over here if you think this is a, like, no use of AI. And stand in the middle if you're kind of unsure about it. And she did a bunch of those different kinds of scenarios with us. And there were a lot of people kind of standing in the middle. There were a lot of people saying, well, it depends on this, and I'm still unsure about this. There's just a lot of discussions being had about what is appropriate and when we should be using it. It was just so encouraging to recognize that we're not the only ones that are talking about this and not the only ones that are working through this, that we know that generative AI has a lot of benefits for education, but thoughtfully managing those risks in regards to access and exposure with AI in our schools and with our littles versus our bigs.
What struck me about that is it hasn't become a binary. People have not made up their minds and are planting their flags on one side or the other, which is not helpful or useful. And the fact that it's a discussion among people in the field, the people that are at McCall, tells me that we're in a much more hopeful place as opposed to where we were at when we were discussing social media 5-6 years ago. And people were planting flags and saying, no, we're not going to do this, and then took ourselves out of the discussion. And that did not reap very good benefits 4 or 5 years later when we were really struggling with our youth and their interaction with social media. By being in the conversation this time and by not planting those flags, we can actually develop the practice with AI because it's not going away.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, today's kindergartners are going to graduate in what, like 2036? And when they do, they're going to be awash in this world of AI. So you can't ostrich your head in the sand, right? And say, it's just going to go away. It's fine. You have to be thoughtful about it. And that kind of got my brain thinking, like, what is developmentally appropriate for AI? Like, I did stand next to this man at one of my sessions, and he was like, yeah, I teach middle school and all my kids are on ChatGPT looking things up. And right now, even telling the story, I got a little itchy. Like my sensors are perking a little bit. Like, that makes me so nervous. So I've just been doing some research.
So what made you nervous about that?
What made me nervous about that, Larry?
I know.
Yeah. There's just so many different AI-related issues that I think as an educator, we need to think about what kind of critical thinking skills do we need to give our students so they can recognize AI when they see it? How do we teach them to recognize the bias that's in the AI? And I think that because of the fact that it is everywhere, we do need to talk about it, but how do we start? So if we look at like our early elementary friends, which is probably like a K-2, we think about the way they need to learn this stuff is going to be bite-sized. It's going to be scaffolding those big ideas that we're going to talk about later. Big things with that grade level would be like AI is not human. So that smart speaker that gives you answers and plays music for you in your house, that's not a human. That is a robot. And that is there to help you. But sometimes it does hallucinate. So having those conversations, basically that AI is not a human, giving them the critical thinking skills and reminding them that the AI does hallucinate sometimes, showing them like AI created images that are completely wacko. And do you believe this? What is this? And then just reminding them, if you look at like the 5 core dispositions of digital citizenship that you need to work on with littles, 2 of them, one of them is slow down and self-reflect, and one of them is seek facts and evidence. And both of those relate 100% to AI. You know, how do we slow down and reflect and look for facts to tell me whether this thing that AI created is true or not? So I think a lot of that just critical thinking surrounding AI piece is really, really important with early elementary. And then even doing like a peek under the hood to see how the things work, like doing something that shows them that this system, again, is not human. And I would never, ever, ever put lower L kids on directly on an AI system, not on their own.
I have so many questions. And I agree with everything that you're saying. I'm stuck on the AI is not human. I mean, obviously, it's not. What I'm thinking about, especially for our littles who anthropomorphize virtually everything.
Right.
I mean, that pillow has a personality that behind you. And of course, they're going to naturally want to do that with something that actually speaks to them or interacts with them. I'm curious about what that means to them and all the things that you're saying, all the critical thinking skills that we would be developing in those young learners would be appropriate critical thinking skills for interacting with adults or other humans.
Yep.
So this is probably going too far. I'm like, really, what's the difference? Which then brought me to, and I'm going to back out of this real quick because it's a, you know, I'm going down a rabbit hole, but it really made me think, where do ethics come into play? Because really the difference is, at least with individuals, with humans, we are assuming ethical response. With an AI, depending on how it was built, we might not be able to make that assumption.
Right. It's an easy extension to make because one of the things that you should be doing when you're working with really little kids and they're watching TV, you know, the cartoons, you have those discussions with littles anyways about Bluey isn't real. It's a character. It's a made up character, or it's just the things that you talk about automatically with what they see online should be done with AI though too.
The difference,
you know, Alexa isn't real.
The difference between Bluey and AI is, with Bluey, it's one-way communication. With AI, it's two-way.
That's true.
It's going back and forth. That's something that we have to look at with our youngers, is that it's not as simple as a show you're watching or an inanimate object.
Yeah.
For a young mind, that's a different discussion.
True.
A much more nuanced discussion.
True. And I think you're laying the groundwork for some future learning as well, like the scaffolding big ideas. One of the lessons in the Common Sense Middle School AI talks about the friendship chatbots and can a chatbot be a friend? And what do you consider, what are like the things that you look for in a friend? You look for someone who is always there for you, and you look for someone who you can have those good conversations with and someone who you can count on and all these things. Well, what about your AI chatbot that meets all of those things? And most middle schoolers will say that that AI chatbot can be a friend. So I think there's a lot of discussions that can happen there, and there's a lot of great insights that could be had with your classroom when you do have that discussion. But I think you're just laying the groundwork for some of those bigger ideas with your littles.
You know, we've had so many discussions on digital literacy in the past and how, again, as I was saying at the start of this pod, we're behind because we didn't include ourselves in the conversation at the start with social media, where we should have had some scaffolding built in 5-6 years ago so that when those kids got into middle school, they had the skills already developed, and now it's a mess. Because that conversation is so rich, is what you're going through is the start of the scaffolding that I think will end up being included in our curriculum very quickly.
Yes.
So that when our kids do get into middle school, they should have a pretty good understanding of what they're dealing with, and everybody will be moderately on the same page. But speaking of that scaffolding,
yep.
Are we moving on
yes.
to the next? Okay.
So next, later elementary students, so about 4, 5, or 6, they are problem solvers naturally. And if we aren't careful, they're going to learn to rely on this AI tech rather than solving their own problems. Frankly, I see that in my own life because I turn on the map to find out how to get to school every day because I know that it's going to take me around the traffic. I know how to drive to school. I drive every single day. But giving kind of offloading that onto the technology. And I think that if we're not careful, these kids that grow up with it, especially that later elementary, they're going to learn to rely on those answers that they get from AI without doing that critical thinking reflection piece. So that's really important. They should be asking ChatGPT questions. I say ChatGPT, but I mean your AI tool of choice. Okay, I'm just going to make that broad statement. But the teacher should always be in the driver's seat. And then a lot of time should be spent thinking critically about the answers. Again, I would never put later elementary kids directly on a ChatGPT or a Gemini to do that question and answer piece. You gotta have that teacher in the driver's seat. That's the best way to say it. And then moving on to middle school, every time I hear that, you know, they're over 13, they finally meet the privacy policy, let's get them on AI. That like shines a giant red light for me. Caution, caution. Developmentally, what do we know about middle school brains? We know that they lack impulse control. They need guardrails. They need limits. Rumors and misinformation is kind of fun for middle schoolers because it gets their brains moving. I would never give them access to something that can create misinformation or sketchy images, or I would be very, very cautious about letting them directly on AI until the very, 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 very end of that middle school grade band. I think giving them exercises and when they ask the generative AI chatbot to answer a question or write an essay and then they critique it looking for the errors and the like, that's all developmentally appropriate. They love finding mistakes and finding things that are wrong. So I think using AI really as a tool to complement and challenge those critical thinking skills and that questioning, that natural questioning that they do, would be like amazing at this age.
You could definitely use the flaws in AI as teachable moments.
Yeah.
We're not saying shelter them from AI. I like the term you used, guardrails. Continually introduce them to AI developmentally appropriately throughout their educational journey. Here are the introductions. We're keeping you safe so that when you are interacting with it on a more mature level, it'll actually be something that's useful to you and not harmful.
Yes, and that's what happens when the kids get into high school. When we talk about high school appropriateness of AI, I mean, they're fast becoming sophisticated users of these tools. They're using them at home. They're using them all the time. A teacher is immediately, first instinct is like, they're going to use it to cheat. No, stop, block it. But a more important role the teachers have to play rather than policing that AI is going to be to teaching them the limitations of the technology, teaching them that there's bias and stereotypes and inaccuracies built in. There was a quote in an article that I read that said, especially high schoolers, remember how you don't trust anyone? Do that with machines. So like exercising your natural suspicions and doubting the machines and not taking the answers at face value, all of that
it is really important to AI at that high school age. And those AI literacy lessons for 6 through 12 from Common Sense are a perfect fit here because they do really, really dive into what AI is and how it works and the potential benefits and risks and thinking critically about how we can be responsible and ethical users of AI. So who's behind the screen of an AI chatbot and how does AI bias impact your life and how well does the algorithm know you? Like all of these, they're great things for grownups to learn more about AI too, but these are perfect for 6th through 12th and there's 8 of them. I would love to see them embedded in every single classroom.
I almost see through our 6th through 12th graders AI being a perfect fit for them on some levels because there's a natural skepticism at that age. Let them be as adolescent as they want to be to AI. Like, you know, there's a point, you know, we were talking initially about dehumanizing AI.
Yes.
I like what you had said, though. At that age, humanize it, because then they're going to, everything that AI says is going to be like, no, it isn't.
Right? It's pretend like, it's your mom.
It's perfect. You're not my dad.
You don't know anything. The grass isn't green.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, though, if we teach them to use that as a force for good towards the AI,
yeah,
that could really allow them to ask some really useful questions of it and probably have a better relationship with it going forward and become better observers. You were talking about, you know, driving back and forth from school and using AI.
It's terrible.
And one of the drawbacks to that is that you don't observe anymore. And that's such an important skill to have. If we can get them to be looking at AI as a helper, but also something that needs to be observed, you need to be looking at it and comparing and contrasting that with what you actually see at an early age and really develop those skills, they're going to become very capable users of a very powerful tool.
As an educator, you think, okay.
Necessary tool.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
This is not a social media, for instance. You could get away with not being involved with social media at all. There's going to be very few situations in the lives of our younger learners where AI proficiency in artificial intelligence is not going to be necessary. Not useful, necessary.
Yeah. We're already interacting with AI in so many different places in our lives. You know, as we scroll social media, when we ask a smart speaker a question, when we use an adaptive testing program in class, when we're getting something translated, when we're using the automatic captioning, like it is everywhere. And we were using this before everybody started talking about ChatGPT and before teachers started getting freaked out about kids cheating with it. Like, we have to do something about it, and we have to start introducing it in developmentally appropriate ways along the spectrum so that kids are ready. It's hard because you see ChatGPT, it's so cool, look what it can do, and you want to, you know, get your middle school kids on it, but please just be careful. Just caution. Those developmental brains are not maybe ready for that yet. And I think having a nice scaffolded way of introducing AI is really important and thoughtful. And keep an eye on Common Sense because they're doing amazing work in this space. And I think that they've got the 6 through 12 lessons. I would be surprised if the K-5 aren't coming soon. Somebody was talking about, yeah, like, oh, Common Sense, I haven't been there in a long time. I was like, you need to go back because, man, they have updated all of their stuff. And it's research-based. It's developing them in partnership with Project Zero at the Harvard Grad School of Education now. Like, they're incredible. You need to go back and take another look at them because they are here and they are quality and they're ready to go. And they're awesome.
All right. Anything else?
Nothing
besides
else.
Pretty much everything.
Everything else.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's our tech tool of the week?
Tech tool of the week. The AI literacy lessons from Common Sense for grades 6 through 12. They are incredible. 20 minutes or less. Provide an introduction to AI and help address its social and ethical impacts. Check them out.
I love it. Hey, where can you be found online?
At Brostrom DA on social.
All right. You can find TCAP Sloop on LinkedIn, Facebook, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Podbean, CastBox, Overcast, Bullhorn, or wherever else you get your ear candy. Thanks for listening and inspiring.
Dude.
We solved everything.
We did not solve it, no. Well,
the world is better. Boom. We did our work.